This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
I don't even know if I can do ANN with the what just happened and during the commercial break. Remarkable comeback from Don in our baseball game to get the win.
I think an assist from RJ. I think he threw extra commercials.
Yeah, RJ, did you pad that break? How was it so long?
Yeah, it really wasn't.
That's like 8 minutes.
Every single
no,
day.
No. That might, even Michael agrees.
4 minutes and 10 seconds.
No. No, I think it was 8:20.
That's not right.
ENN is sponsored by the All-American Ford Auto Group. Shop the largest and best Ford group in the Northeast at allamericanford.net. All-American Ford is the largest selection and best prices with locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant, New Jersey. And we'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
I can't stand magicians.
And then I'd also like to say, if I can, good evening to Don.
I think guests are whack.
Well, would you guys like to hear the Giants' Nate Solder's explanation of why he'll vote to pass the CBA?
Yeah.
He said the proposed CBA is, quote, a great deal for the core players, according to NBCSports.com. Let's hear Nate Solder on Golic and Wingle this morning.
I was shocked. I went back to the guys on my team and asked them, you know, whether they'd rather have better benefits, better health care, more money, and they said they would play a 17th game for that. So I can't speak for all of them. I can only speak for those that I spoke to and those that were adamant that they would do it. So I think other people fall on other sides of that, and in my personal opinion, I wouldn't want to play 17, but the guys that I represent did.
And yeah, I don't know why they're jumping him.
Well, here's his specific reasoning that I just talked about.
You know, I've always just believed that I'm going to fight for the guys that don't have a voice. And I know guys that said no also feel that way. So I don't want to be overly weighted that way. But I think it's great for us because it increased the minimums. It increased our benefits, both for current and former players. We have a bigger share of the revenues. And you know, I just think that it's better for us if we can form a deal with good conscience, with good faith with the owners, and there's a chance we go to a fight if we don't.
Now, I guess they feel like because he represents the Giants, he should be talking all the other players into don't take this deal. But I don't think that's his job. I think his job is to present the information and let the players make their own choice. Not every player is created equal. You know, some need that minimum wage to get raised. Some need the extra health. You know, and no offense to Drew Brees or any of the big-time guys, they don't have to worry about the minimum wage, right?
Nor do they really have to worry about the health care.
No, because, you know, even though their contract's not guaranteed, a lot of them signed $30 million signing bonuses, so they don't have to worry about anything. But it's that third-line center who, not sure he's going to be able to make the team, that wants to know that his next concussion is going to be taken care of. That if his wonky knee turns out to be arthritis, that it's going to be taken care of. And that his minimum wage is going to be raised.
See, that's why the NFL owners are so smart. All they had to do was raise the minimum wage, and then they get everything that they want. Because the majority of the players are fungible. So if they can squeeze $300,000 more out of a three-year career, that's what they're going to vote for.
Now, I'm not going to sit here and try to sound like pro-owner, but you can look at it and go, oh, wow, big deal, $100,000 raise. Well, think about the majority of players in the NFL are probably making minimum wage, right? There's a good portion of them that probably are. That $100,000 for how many players is that?
I have a question. How laughable is this CBA relative to other sports?
Well,
the minimum wage is.
Right.
The no guaranteed money.
You can't have guaranteed money in football.
Okay.
You just can't.
But then all the more reason you need guaranteed health care and a better minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of embarrassing when you think about it.
The owners got what they wanted.
Now, the one difference is their television money is greater than everybody else's, but the owners can look at it and say, I only get 16 games. I only get 8 home games. I got to pay 53 players as opposed to other sports having to pay, you know, a roster of 20 in the NHL, 25 in Major League Baseball.
26 this year.
15 in basketball.
I'm not going to pin a medal on the chest of the owners here, though, because $100,000 that they're raising the minimum wage, that's money that's taken away from the top-level guys because you only get a percentage of the revenue. So now you're just spreading it differently. The minimum wage guys get $100,000 more.
But there's a give and take in negotiations, right? And to them, they believe it's worth playing the extra game. Now, do the owners come across as hypocritical? We're so concerned about concussions. We're so concerned about the health of the players. But we're going to play, you know, basically Thursday games every week, and we're going to play a 17th game. So they're kind of talking out of both sides of their mouth.
That they're concerned about the health of the players. They're concerned about it because they got sued.
Well, I think they're concerned about the health of their players because it affects their bottom line in wins and losses. I don't think they want to lose players on kickoffs. That's why they're trying to get rid of it. At the end of the day, they want to win and they want to make their money. But I think if they care about somebody physically and mentally, it's that they can win that game on that given Sunday. Otherwise, I think they're just commodities.
We're going to get back to we'll play it. If you missed Spike Lee on the show earlier, we'll get to that in 1 second. First, I want to play the audio we teased of A-Rod today during the call of the Red Sox-Yankee game on ESPN.
One thing that really has upset the fans is you cheat, you win a championship, there is no suspension, and then there's no remorse. And the last one, I think, is probably the worst one because people want to see remorse. They want a real, authentic apology, and they have not received that thus far. And I can just tell you this, Natty, from a guy who has made, you know, as many mistakes as anybody on the biggest stage, I served the longest suspension in Major League Baseball history. Mm. You know, it cost me well over $35 million. And you know what? I deserved that. And as a result, I came back. I owned it after acting like a buffoon for a long time. I had my apologies, and then I went dark. And I wanted my next move to be contrite, but I also wanted to go out and play good baseball and change my narrative. And the way you change your narrative is you have to be accountable. You've earned all this negative talk. You've earned whatever comes your way, including whether it's hit by a pitch or negative press. You have divorced yourself from having the ability to protect yourself.
That's about as forthright as he's been about this.
I never heard that much depth. I mean, we have heard him hint at it, not like that.
And also, when you consider it, he got suspended and lost $35 million. I mean, who's ever been fined $35 million? And these guys who, all of them cheated, the 2000, they got nothing. They were granted immunity. They got nothing. He got $35 million taken away from his bottom line.
And a year.
And he said he deserved it, too. And he did. He lied. He did terrible things. And he took it. But he's never really come out and said, in those stark terms, I'm impressed. And he really hasn't said anything about the Astros situation. And he knew that in his situation, he couldn't soft shoe it because he'd look like a phony.
And he's right. If you show contrition and the public believes you, they will forgive you. Now, it would have taken a heck of an apology from the Astros, but if they just tried, more than just, they're forcing us to do it. If they just seemed like they really meant it, maybe they'd be able to get up from it.
I think the great story from 2020 is going to be, do the Astros use the fact that everybody hates their guts, and I mean all fans other than Astro fans, and all the players, do they use that as a galvanizing thing and they go out and they tear it up, or do they just give up?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask
Jeff. I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, it's going to be one or the other. So what's the narrative going to be? That it killed their season or they rallied around it? And that makes it worse if they win. Because if they win, then it's almost going to be like they were the victims and they overcame it. And that's going to change like the narrative of their story to it led to another championship. So let's get this straight. You cheat to a championship. Some players hit you, all right? You get abused by the fans. You get booed. But you spin it into another championship and we're supposed to reward you that you faced this adversity, that you overcame this obstacle and won another title, right?
And all it would
take, make people hate him even more.
And all it would take is some sort of punishment to give you the opportunity to move forward and have people move on. Because it's kind of like, Michael, it's kind of what we were talking about with Dolan, taking an L to get the long-term W.
Right.
You got to suffer through the consequences to win people over again.
I just don't like this whole theory of all the shame is punishment enough. How do you know that? They did it in the first place. They cheated in the first place. How do we know how much shame they feel? They should feel it. They should feel a ton of shame. But that's the punishment? You brought the analogy up great a couple of weeks ago. I robbed the bank. I get away with it. Oh, but he's got the guilt of knowing that he stole all that money.
Yeah, that's not how crime works.
That's not how it works.
Especially if you get to keep the money.
Spike Lee joined the show earlier.
Yeah, I was here.
About the I remember. About the incident last night at Madison Square Garden. What happened? He wasn't allowed in. They said he took the wrong entrance. They want him to go back down the elevator, leave the garden, return again. He goes on First Take and eviscerates James Dolan and the Knicks. The Knicks put out a statement saying that Spike's claims of being a victim are, quote, laughable. They have a statement saying that. We had Spike on the show, and he was adamant that no one has spoken to him about using a different entrance.
No one has ever told me not that they're liars saying they repeatedly told me. I want them to produce one person to look me in the eye and told me they said, Spike, you can't use the entrance. It never happened. Ever.
He then goes on to say, he talked about the photo of him shaking hands with Dolan.
So Dolan always has to go by my seat, my court-sized seat, to go to where he goes during halftime. So my head was down. I was on my phone, and he came up to me, and he said, we got to talk. I said, talk about what? He said, we got to talk. I said, Mr. Dolan, no one's ever told me, and I was not irate. I was very respectful. I did not use the profanity. I said, Mr. Dolan, no one's ever told me not to use employee entrance. And they said, well, now you know. I'd like to say something, though, because my head was spinning. I've never had this happen to me ever by the garden. So I didn't even realize that, you know, we were speaking, and I don't remember shaking his hand.
Spike on if he's being targeted by James Dolan. This may be the biggest claim from the interview. Do you think there's any chance that you're being targeted here, Spike?
Yes, I've said it several times publicly. I'm being harassed by James Dolan. I do not know the reason why I'm being harassed.
I mean, that's quite a charge.
Listen, I know everyone at the Garden, the ushers, security, ushers who've seen my children grow up. My daughter's 24. My son's 22. We would bring our crazy because Oakley was playing, but we had our infants in our arms. These guys have to look. I don't even speak to them because I know they get in trouble if they're speaking to me. So we got a little look, just look each other, give a little smile, and we. I don't want nobody to get fired. So I understand. I understand that people walk on eggshells in Madison Square Garden. Because James don't fire your ass any second.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, guys. I've never really heard, up until today, when Spike Lee admitted, in his opinion, that Dolan is the reason why they lose and Dolan is the reason why free agents won't come here. But other than the interview today, did you hear him go on a Dolan bash fest? When we've had him on before,
Never. Did
he rip Dolan? No, he'd be playful about the Knicks, hoping they'd win, whatever. So why would he be targeted? I'm not saying that he's not. I'm just trying to figure out why. Now, Peter had suggested through sources that maybe they want more of a Drake type of guy.
Well,
or
I was told that. I had a source that suggested that.
But what is wrong with Spike Lee? Is he, I know he can be controversial, but is he someone that you don't want representing your team? As a matter of fact, I think he's genuine. Like, I don't want somebody that's kind of paid to be there.
Nope.
I don't want somebody that's only, like, I wouldn't want Howard Stern to be the guy who doesn't follow basketball and only goes to Madison Square Garden to be seen and hang with Beth. I want my guy to be somebody that genuinely loves the team.
Right.
Like that, he seems like the perfect guy. He's famous, people recognize him, and I'm not forcing him to be there.
And he's forever. He's not going to have a moment where his albums don't sell for a couple years and no one cares. It's established. He's permanently a star there.
He could obviously not make another movie or make a series of bombs.
Wouldn't matter.
It's not going to affect who he is and how recognizable he is. Why wouldn't you want him representing the
Knicks? Yeah, what could be, and Michael, could it be the same thing we were talking about with Marv, that Dolan has been mad ever since
He wore the Oakley jersey.
The Oakley jersey, and now he's holding on to it, and he's going to his moment?
We put the invite out after Spike got off the air. Jim Dolan is always welcome to come on and give his side of the story. We'll treat him with respect. But you have to answer to that. Are you targeting this
But
guy?
Are you going
to
believe him?
I mean, but you want to have it on the record.
By the way, the sneaky best part of our entire segment with Spike, I don't know if you noticed this, Don, was a moment where I learned something about Michael that was fantastic.
What?
He sees, Andrew, you had to think this, not knowing you. Michael saw the swearing on his mother's grave as an absolute stone-cold lock that it's now impossible he's lying. Did you notice that?
Well, that may be my favorite part of the segment. After he hung up,
yeah.
When Michael says, what kind of person lies about that? And Don just snapped back, a liar.
Yeah.
Like, well, but that's the point. We don't know Spike is a liar. Like anybody can come on, like a caller, somebody that we don't know can say, I swear to God, I saw Godzilla on 8th Avenue. I swear to God. And we could say, well, I don't know who you are.
Well, I just love it about Michael because he would so never swear on his mother's grave unless it was the truth. But so when we hung up with Spike, you basically, to you, it was over.
But
he
swore on his mother's grave.
But you're moving on.
That's the way I feel.
But by the way, I'm not saying you're wrong. I just love that it's an ironclad lock.
But you have to disclaimer that by saying that people that you know, you don't think that there are people that say swear to God that are completely full of you-know-what?
But then you know that those people are going straight to hell.
But mother's grave is, would you guys all agree, I believe, there's I swear, which means nothing.
Nothing.
There's I swear to God.
I swear on my kids.
There's I swear on my kids, but Michael's right, top of the line is I swear on my mother's grave.
But you cannot tell me.
Would you all agree that's the number one swear?
Can you say it definitively to me now? That everybody who's ever said that to you was telling me.
Of course not.
But to Michael, it sounds like he
would. Well, but that also comes with him respecting Spike Lee.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It has to be people you know. You can't just say some stranger.
Right. There are people that swear on the Bible in a court and they're lying.
Oh, many people.
There are people who perjury. There are people who swore on the Bible during their inauguration. But I'm not going to get political, but I'm saying it's probably happened in the history of the country.
If there's a kid leaning on your car and there's a clear scratch and he's holding keys, and he says to you, it wasn't me, I swear on my mother. Or you'd be like, oh, well, okay, obviously it can't be you.
Did you
see who might have done it?
But I think you do have to learn from past performance. So Spike Lee has never shown me
the aptitude to lie. From what we know of Spike, we don't think there's any reason for him to lie. We don't think there's
any reason for him to go. Which Spike do you trust more, Spike Lee or Spike from New Jersey?
It's a dead heat because I know Spike too.
Now, Peter Boddy, who writes for the Post, I mean, what a great tweet. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
So we finally have a controversy about someone using the wrong gate to enter an arena. In other words, at long last, gate.
I got to tell you, that is Mage. Here's Coach K responding to critics over Duke's quote-unquote slump.
But then when you lose, then we've lost. Oh, the world is going to end. And a lot of pressure is put on. You know, even social media, like it's amazing what people put out. You know, really, if you're our fans, don't do that. Yeah, you know, come on, man.
There we go again.
These kids are 18 and 19 years old. I mean, you can question my coaching and what the hell. And then when you do question it, by the way, just come into camera and look up in the ceiling.
I gotta tell you. I've never respected Coach K more. That'll do it for ENN.
That was a drop on the mic.
Tuesday.
The ceiling is the roof.
All right, we've got Buster Olney tomorrow. We've got Trey Wingo, another great show. Rangers pregame's coming up. In the words of Billy Joel, life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. I'm afraid it's time for goodbye again. See you, everybody.
The ceiling is the roof.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.